are excited to bring in the voice of the dog, Scott Howard, checking in with us. Yes. What's up, Scott? How are you, man?
Doing good. How you doing?
The yes, when Scott and I used to work with a gentleman named George Allgood, who was our news director at the radio station back in the day, and that was you worked with him, I guess, first, and then I took over, and that was his morning greeting. Hey, good morning, George. Yes, and then he would tell a lot of blue stories, and they were
they were funny.
Between him and Munson, we got a lot of good stories from those two. That was
we were wide eyed and green, and learned a lot. And we still use a lot of those references now.
It's only 25. It's
quite a learning experience.
Yeah, I know. It was only 25 years ago, so it was one of those things. Logan Scott, I got my first job. Scott hired me when he was a sports director. We weren't called 960 The Ref. We were called WRFC, which is still the radio station.
Right.
But that was when we were over on Millage Avenue.
Good deal.
So that was,
alumni
back in the day.
960 The Ref. I like.
Oh, absolutely. Good former deal. Sports director who made his way from Cochrane to Milledgeville to Athens, Georgia. Did I get that right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, but I'll leave off that first one you mentioned. That was a disaster.
Oh, well, you know, every radio guy has one of those kind of stories, right? So there's nothing unfamiliar with the radio world.
That's true. I don't know if they're as common today as maybe they were then, but that was a problem with a station owner who liked the bottle a lot.
Oh yeah, well, like you said, we'll. I'll be able to tell those kind of stories. But, hey, we'll move on to this is interesting. The story came out yesterday, or Georgia released a story about how donations have just gone, I mean, unbelievably through the roof. And I know there were some reasons for that other than just the high pitch or the fever pitch, I should say, for Georgia football. But on the football side of things, as long as you've been broadcasting the games, have you ever felt anything like this, you know, after what happened last year and going into this season like it is right now?
No, I think this is kind of the pinnacle of a fever pitch, I guess if you want to call it that, for football based on what happened last year. I mean, Georgia got to the final game and then got a taste of it and got oh so close. And, you know, so I think that's what's driving the attitude this year. And, you know, the last two or three years of recruiting and all of that stuff is so much more, all of that information is so much more readily available to everyone in the world now. So you can, you know, there are no real secrets anymore. So you can see what George is doing and having success off the field and bringing in, some of the best athletes in the country and they apply them to this program. And then it becomes, you're competing with everybody else for facilities and all of that stuff combined. I mean, it's just a sprint. And I don't know that there's a finish line anywhere, but it's a constant sprint. And I think that's in part what drives all of this excitement and, in return, you know, the folks that have deep pockets and certainly our alums of the school, they want to see their school do well. So all of that drives them to write a big check, too.
You know, you're right because, like, I guess a sprint, marathon, whatever you want to call it, because as soon as Georgia does something like the West End Zone improvement, then there'll be something else, and then Alabama or Clemson's going to do something, and then everyone else is going to kind of do something. I mean, it's like the arms race for college football. Is it ever going to end? It doesn't feel like it right now, that's for sure.
No, it'll never become stationary. And there was a story yesterday about impossible improvements to the football offices and all, you know, not necessarily the fields anymore and the indoor facility, you know, we have that. And now it's about, the thing like Clemson has with their improved football offices for their coaches and staff and on-campus recruiting and the big indoor slide that everybody likes to talk about and all the bells and whistles that go, well, we've got 200 HD screens and we've got pool tables and it's never ending.
Scott, you're around Buttsmere quite a bit. Now, sometimes we have to remind ourselves that with all the optimism and fever pitch when these numbers come out, that we are coming off a year where we lost the national championship game in just heartbreaking fashion. But not only the fans, but it seems like the coaches, the players around Buttsmere, they don't remember that either, it seems like. They're just, you know, full steam ahead, optimistic as well. You being around there so much, do you sense that whatsoever, that there's maybe a hangover at all, or is this team just 1,000% moved on in the other direction?
Well, you know, we're told that they take that and they learn from it. I mean, since Kirby's been here, it's been a drive to make everyone believe that each game, each season is independent of itself. You know, we don't rest on what happened last week or last year. We stay in the moment. We move on to the next game, and it's that old cliche. It's the next game mentality, one game at a time type thing. I don't think they've forgotten what happened last year. Certainly, there's no reason to do that. They can't do that, but they can't sit there and just, you know, wallow in pity because we didn't win the national championship. I mean, it was a great opportunity. They got, as I said, got to the last game, got down, you know, the very last play in an overtime game for college football's crown, and it didn't go Georgia's way. But they're using that more as momentum. And why wouldn't that drive you? Certainly for the guys that are back that tasted that and experienced that last year, there's this drive to say, well, if we could do that again. You know, we just have to work a little bit harder this year than maybe we did last year. Maybe that's the solution, to have a little more luck on your side as well. But I don't think they've forgotten it, but I don't think they're, you know, it's hanging around and just dragging people down. I think it's more of a drive and a motivation, and that's, you know, that's what Kirby's message is too. We learn from our mistakes. We're motivated to do better the next time, and that next time is coming up in a few weeks.
Looking back at 2017, you've made some very memorable calls, things that we'll hear for years and years to come, I'm sure. A couple that stand out to me: Akil Crumpton's catch at Georgia Tech, straight out of Crumpton, then DeAndre Swift's long run in the SEC championship game when the freshman ran the ball back to Philadelphia. My question for you, being the voice of the Dogs, do you sometimes sort of think of these things prior to a big play happening? Like, you knew one day perhaps you would say something about Philadelphia with DeAndre Swift, or maybe Crumpton's name, obviously the pun on the Straight Out of Compton movie that was out a couple years ago. How much thought goes into those things for you prior to these plays ever happening, or is this just 100% in the moment that you get yourself caught up into?
Well, for the two examples that you mentioned, one was thought of in advance and the other one wasn't. The Akil Crumpton thing, when he signed with Georgia, just his name immediately made me think of, you know, Straight Out of Compton,
right?
Straight Out of Crumpton. And I just thought that would be funny if, you know, if he ever had a big play and had a big moment, if you could fit that phrase in somehow to into the play. And, you know, I just kind of held on to that all year long. And then we get to the Tech game and he catches a touchdown pass, which was a huge play at the time. And that's the moment in time when that phrase just, you know, came out of my mouth. So that one, you know, I had the phrase in my head and wanted to apply it at some point during the season, and we had to wait until the last game of the regular season. The thing with Swift, you know, that just came out. I mean, fortunately, I remembered where he was from, and it was a long run, and so, you know, he ran back to his hometown, which was kind of the deal. But if a guy has a funny name or a, and you can come up with something clever, maybe to use, I like to do that. I like puns, I like jokes, I like humor. And I like to apply that to our broadcast, if at all possible.
Hey, the basketball stuff too, and you've been doing basketball for a long time. Also, with Coach Crean coming on, we were talking about the excitement for football, but man, he has worked the room, as they like to say, and he is. I'm sure you've got a lot of people coming up to you and talking about basketball, probably more than you normally would at this time of year too, since football's right around the corner. But what has that been like so far with Coach Crean and what he's brought excitement-wise to the basketball program?
Well, it's definitely top tier. Tom is he's very active on social, and I mean he's quite a personable person, and he likes to get the message out there. I mean this is his chance to you don't get a second opportunity to go back and do this for the first time. So this is his first venture here at this school, and I think he feels like it's kind of a sleeping giant as far as support from the fan base. And, you know, I mean, he hasn't coached a game for Georgia in Stegman Coliseum, so he wants to see what it's like if we can get out there and get the students involved and get a solid fan base and, you know, throw a good product out there as well. But it is very exciting. I think a lot of people are listening to his message that, it's going to be a little bit different under his guidance and his regime. And we'll see. We'll see what kind of a different game it is, if the level of play is different from what Georgia fans have seen before, if it's more exciting, if it's faster, or whatever the situation is. And I think a lot of people are curious as to how that's going to turn out and work out. But, you know, hopefully people don't judge based on, just a handful of games. You know, hopefully it's a season-long deal, and when you have success, obviously that's going to breed more. So that's what the basketball program's hoping for.
Well, with Tony Schiavone, by the way, I know you're always telling him to hold your Rolex, but with Tony being on the
hold my Casio.
With him being on the football broadcast and the our crew, and I guess with basketball, do you find it funny that, like, he gets a lot of like whenever you guys go on the road, he's a celeb, isn't he?
Yes, of course. On the basketball crew, I mean, I'm low man on the totem pole between Schiavone and Chuck Dowdle. I mean, everybody knows those guys everywhere we go, and I just kind of hide in the shadows, which is, I don't mind that at all, believe it or not. I just kind of ride those guys' coattails. But with Tony, I mean, he's having this, resurgence of success and in the wrestling world, and with a wrestling podcast that's very popular, and he's back on television calling wrestling matches again. And it's always been kind of he'll get people that other announcers, that's what's funny when you see other announcers, other people in broadcasting that most of them are a lot younger than we are at this point, but they'll come up to Tony and just fawn all over him. I mean, I remember Roxy Bernstein, who does a lot of West Coast stuff, and I think he does athletics, baseball maybe, and he does a lot of West Coast stuff for ESPN. We were playing in Kansas City a few years ago. We played in one of those two-day events, four-team, two-day deals, and he had the assignment in Kansas City, and pardon me, and he saw Tony, working our radio set, and just came over and introduced himself, and it was just like, he was meeting Elvis Presley or something.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He got his autograph and took pictures, and it's so funny to see that with, not just Joe Fan, but with other broadcasters, because, Tony was in, I mean, gosh, how long was he on TV? 20-something years probably before he took a bit of a break, but. He gets that all over the place. Mississippi State is a big place for Tony Schiavone fans. I know that.
Talking with the voice of the dog, Scott Howard.
Scott, when you do call a football game, you have a very very fun style of calling it. You get very excited in the big moments. And I was just curious, a lot of folks want to know, do you wear a Fitbit or any kind of Apple Watch, like a heart monitor? Have you ever been curious what your heart rate looks like over the span of a 60-minute football game?
I have not, and I do not. I don't wear the Fitbit stuff. I do one thing I do in the booth is I stand for football. I can't sit down. So I move around a lot, and that allows me to kind of burn off some of that excess energy that may be building up. But it's hard for me to sit at the football game, so that's why I choose to stand when we call the games. But I don't know that it's off the charts, my heart rate or anything. Hopefully there's no danger there. I may have to get a scan to make sure all my arteries are unclogged so nothing happens while we're, going through a game.
In those big moments, I think what comes to mind for me last season when Davin Bellamy sacked the Notre Dame quarterback to kind of put that one on ice, also early in the game, SEC Championship, Davin Bellamy again sacking Jared Sittum. You get very excited, but do you even realize that you get that excited, or is that just completely natural? You don't even know how excited you actually sound on air. Is that just coming naturally from you?
Yeah, I think it just comes out. I don't really notice it until Shivani, who's also our producer, tells me in my headset to take it down a notch because we're peaking the levels on the mics and all that stuff. But sometimes it's over the top. I mean, I realize that, but going back to your question, it just, probably if I'm a fan in the seats watching the game, I mean, that would be my same reaction.
Right.
So that's what we're getting on the air also. And hopefully it's understandable, though. That's the difference. It's not just errant screaming and hollering. And, I've been accused of that, of hollering too much and screaming too much. But it's honest. It's true emotion for Georgia football and Georgia sports, and I like hearing that from other broadcasts. I like hearing I don't like the phony stuff, the phony made up. And I want some true emotion from my team and my school. That's what I want to hear. So that's kind of how I grew up with that in my head, and if I ever had the chance to call a game, that's how it was going to be. So that's what it is.
In your tenure here as the voice of the Dogs, I'm guessing that the Rose Bowl is going to play a factor in your answer here, but what is your favorite moment that you've called over the last several years for Georgia?
Rose Bowl, that was pretty good. That was high up on the ladder. I don't know if I can put it in one particular moment. There's just been a lot. I mean, it's been 20 something years of basketball and football, and you throw in baseball and it's even longer. There was a national championship game in baseball that I had a chance to be a part of on the radio back in 1990. So that was early, and it's like, wow, is this? I'm at the pinnacle right now. This is, is it going to be like this every year? Of course, it was not. But there are lots of moments scattered across a couple of decades here that are pretty special. But I don't know if I can define one. But certainly, the Rose Bowl was a terrific, wonderful experience for a lot of people, me included.
Well, looking forward to the season. I guess it'll be interesting to see how the quarterback situation plays out with Fromm and Fields. I'm not talking about a quarterback controversy, but just, how much Fields will be used and in what situations. And I know that's the kind of stuff you look forward to also, I guess, in the preseason when you're figuring in the new guys and where they're going to play and how much they're going to play and making sure – not the quarterback as much. You got good spotters and all that stuff in your own eyes. When there's a new quarterback, but when some of the other newcomers get in, to make sure – you're ready for that. So I know that's a lot of fun getting ready for this time of year as well.
Yeah, it's just trying to put a name and a number and a body type with all the new guys, because I don't see a lot of these guys up close except maybe on Mondays when they're doing their weekly news conference, and there's only a handful of those guys, so you don't really know what a lot of these guys look like unless you're around them 24/7, and I'm not, but it's just a kind of a learning process at this point. But you mentioned the quarterbacks. I'm excited to see how much the local guys stir the pot about a quarterback controversy. I know that's my father-in-law told me. He said, "Did you see the paper over the weekend?" He said they had the front page with Swift on there, and I know that's gonna that's going to total up some clicks and sell, if there are newspapers left, they sell a few of those when you write stories about that sort of thing. But the Swift and the From angle is going to be interesting, and hopefully it's positive stuff and not taken in a negative light.
Well, no, and then, hey, competition, whether it's Swift or at running back, whether it's, you know, Fields with From, whatever it is, hey, I mean, just the recruiting has just been so unbelievable here that going into the season, you just don't have any idea. Scott, thanks so much for taking a few minutes. Already looking forward to the season, and we'll chat with you again. And like we started the interview, we'll end it with yes. So anyway, appreciate it.
Yes. All right. And have a great season, Coach.
That was coming, Scott. Too. All right, thanks, Coach. Thanks, Coach. All right, we'll see you. All right, that's Scott Howard, the voice of the Dogs.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.